Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, welcome to Thoughts on Thoughts, a podcast where you, our listeners, can become part of a conversation with us. We are three therapists who are going to talk about the good, the hard, and all the in-betweens of life. Come join us.
Hello, welcome to Thoughts on Thoughts. This is Taylor. We have Jessica and KJ here, and we're so happy to be back with you guys after a break. Today, we are going to be doing a little bit of Q&A answering. We had questions submitted on our Instagram, which we always encourage you guys to send if you have any. And these questions are kind of circulating around a central topic, and that has to do with therapy, like being a therapist, graduate school, what therapists struggle with. And we have three unique perspectives on all of those things because we're all very different humans and therapists. So we're going to dive into that.
Yeah. So our first question is, what advice do you have for someone starting grad school?
Buckle up, buttercup. That's all.
Yeah. Good luck.
Have fun. I truly think if I could relive 2 years of my life as of right now, I think I would pick grad school.
Mm-hmm. It was a great time.
It was so fun.
Obviously, it's like we had a good cohort.
Yeah,
based on the three of us. But it was a great time. Yeah,
the fun of learning to be a therapist without truly the stress of being a therapist.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's a good point.
I'd never had a client.
That's true.
KJ and I started my career.
Yeah, we did our internship together, and I had one client. KJ had like a half a client. She saw like two times.
Yeah. Great.
It was the most chill internship. 10 out of 10, would recommend.
Yeah, but didn't you guys end up playing with puppies at one point? I remember they came back.
We were. Yeah. Honey, oh my gosh.
We trained the therapy dog.
Honey has passed away since.
Oh,
I told you that?
Goodness.
So sorry to bring the mood down, but I know. We loved Honey, and we did. We did train the therapy dog, which is a joke because I do not like dogs. Although I did learn to love Honey when I actually worked there. But
Yeah, so you can probably tell from our chatter that we loved grad school. So
yes,
our advice or my advice is just find your people in your cohort that you can trust and have a good time with, study with, get notes from, all the things. Find your core people. That's what the three of us did. And we have a group of eight of us, right?
Yeah.
We still keep in touch. We still talk about the therapy world together. And then we just know each other's lives. And we recently did a Secret Santa. with each other. So it's fun. I loved grad school. It's a very stressful time, but it's a very fun time as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think just the support that you get from your cohort and your classmates has kind of been valuable. It's like the material is difficult, and then doing your like internships is very stressful as well. Cause you're, I mean, if you're not KJ, you'll have a lot of clients and you'll be doing something. Yes. But I think that it's like grad school can like be a grind, but the thing that makes it worth it, I think, is cohort, friends, connecting with other people, and like allowing yourself to be in that friend group if you can find some people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just, you know, my best advice is just truly go for it. You only have a little bit of time to be a baby therapist and like just really learn and be like, oh, okay, that did not go well in that session, and I can do that. You know, like just allow yourself to make mistakes and to learn from them and move forward. It's like learning a new language. Like you are going to say pretty much everything wrong. And so just give yourself that grace and realize that you're learning and then move on. That's my best advice, because it is like learning a new language. It's wild.
Yeah, it's so true.
You have to stop saying, which now you guys are going to listen to the rest of this and be like, wow, they all three still say,
I know, but I forgot about that.
We literally had to record ourselves once and you could not say it the whole time. And it was very difficult.
Yeah, you had to not on the podcast, in grad school. Yeah, you had to do that.
Yeah, no, not in the podcast. Nope. just for a grade. We don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Say like and however many times I want. Mm-hmm.
Professional.
Yep.
Okay, next question. What is the top reason people go to therapy?
Anxiety and depression. Next question. Is there anything else? Do they also have depression and anxiety if they have anything else? Yes, it seems to be that way, especially now. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Anxiety is definitely my top one that I see. And it's like, it might not even be the presenting problem. You know, it might be because like, oh, I'm having a hard time with my spouse, but it like boils down. It's like, oh, I'm extremely anxious. And you're like, yeah.
Oh, it turns out. Yeah.
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 Yeah, so anxiety, depression, those are the big ones.
Those can be comorbid with other things, but there's almost always one of those. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, our next one is, do you diagnose everyone you know?
No.
Taylor is shaking her head no. Bod nodded yes a little bit. Yes.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
This is how I describe it. It's like a spidey sense. I can tell when, like, if someone had, like, I can feel trauma. I can feel atypical brain patterns, like an autism diagnosis or something like that. Like, I can just feel it. Like, for instance, I was recently at Disneyland. And there was a very nice Star Tours attendant, cast member, I think is what they're called. And he was being so nice to me, but within like 5 seconds of him opening his mouth, I was like, oh, he has autism and this is very difficult for him, you know, whatever. And then from behind me in line, I heard another guy be like, excuse me, I need to talk to you when I get up there. And I was like, oh, another person with autism. This is not going to end well. And it did not really end. It didn't end poorly, but like, it was like, you need to get your manager, blah, blah, blah. Cause like neither of them really could communicate, but like within like a few words, I could like, you can feel it. And some people just can do that, I'm sure, but I don't think everyone can. So it's that kind of a thing. And like when someone has like severe childhood trauma, I just feel like I can feel it. Not everyone. If you're good at pushing that down and hiding it, it's probably hidden from me. So don't you worry about that. But there's sometimes when I'm like, just talk to someone, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I don't know. And it doesn't bother me. You know what I mean? It's not like I think that what people are really asking is, do you judge us? Are you trying to diagnose and put me in a box? And are you trying to be like, you should do this to change your life? No, we don't do that stuff.
And you'd hear that a lot when you're like training to become a therapist. People would be like, are you analyzing me? Are you quote unquote therapizing me? And my response to that was always like, you know, I don't care that much to be therapizing you outside of sessions.
It's not worth my effort.
I'm like, I'm just trying to live my life, you know, and go to the grocery store, you know. But I think Bod's onto something. When people say those things, I think it's more of a fear that you're trying to see through them, or you're trying to discover going on.
Oh, you're back.
Okay, I'm here.
Taylor has a lot happening. Like, there were balloons floating in her video.
Experience that, like, where you do a hand motion and then balloons come.
Did I do a hand motion?
Yeah,
you did. You guys are using a new program. Moving your hands. And I'm, and I'm talking about therapy, and then all of a sudden my whole screen fills with happy birthday balloons, and I am off. Yeah.
Internet problem here.
That was wild. But anyways, yes. So do we diagnose everybody that we come in contact with? KJ, what about you?
Yes and no. I think I have this boundary if it's like people that I'm actually associating with in my life on the regular. I don't know. I think I have my blinders on subconsciously or something, because I'll have people be like, have you noticed this about so-and-so? Or some people, because I'm a therapist, it'll be like, what would you diagnose this person? And legitimately, I will be like, I have not thought about it. Like, I don't
see that. We are different, because I would be like, yeah, 100%. I've thought about it. I would say that. I'm not judging, but it just comes into my brain, you know? So I'm so glad you could just not.
Yes.
Yeah. I've worked really hard to have that skill of compartmentalizing, but I think it's rooted in avoidance. Of like, I just don't know that I want to know.
You're like, I'm not going to look closely at any of you. Be close. No, thank you. Jeez.
Then I'll have to look at myself.
No.
Yeah.
So if you're in my inner circle, you're safe.
Yeah.
Thank heavens.
Outside of it,
you're not safe.
Yeah, you're not. Mm-mm. So
yeah.
All right. Well, that question brought out a lot of things. So let's move along here. What do you as therapists struggle with the most? I will start, since I kind of just brought it up. Compartmentalizing. Is that universal, or do you guys have other things that are your number one struggle?
No, I would say amen to that myself.
I actually compartmentalize extremely well. I think it's one of my talents.
Some people have to quit the profession because they're so bad
at it. I'm able to do that. I can like compartmentalize it. But so I was even just talking about this with Logan as we're just like over the kitchen island tonight. Just the I get bogged down in the heaviness of processing, if that makes sense. So it's not like I ruminate over certain things like, oh, they told me this horrific story and I can't stop thinking about it, or I can't be with my kids. It's just I get this, if I've done a lot of sessions and then say I have another emotional conversation with a sibling and then a friend discloses some things to me, you know, just like life things, I do get heavy in that. And it's just a heavy energy in me that I have to like slough off intentionally. And if I don't have the time to do the intentional sloughing, then I just keep getting bogged down. So I think that's like a normal human thing. But then when you're a therapist on top of that, you just have like it compounds on top of your normal life. And that's probably my biggest struggle, is just like the heaviness that I feel.
Totally. Yeah. For me, I think I do a lot better at it now with my private practice, because I'm, you know, it's just me. And it's like I bring on
who I bring on, I can keep it at a low number. For the first 5 years of my career, my job was pretty impossible to compartmentalize because I had staff texting me 24/7.
You were getting messages like, I remember visiting you and being like, I cannot believe that she has to talk to them at night. It is unreal.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I'm 4 years out of that. And so I don't have this like anxiety response every time I get a text because I'm not like, oh, it's probably someone in a life or death situation. I'm not going to that place anymore in my mind.
It's really nice,
you know,
to let go of that. You know?
So I will say that I do think what your job is, like what role you are in as a therapist, can have a big play in it. But I do still struggle sometimes where like I will have a session and then it'll be one of those sessions where I'm like, was progress made? Did we get anywhere? And I think it's kind of that feeling. That's me projecting, right? Where I'm like, oh my gosh, if the client
like
doesn't feel like
oriented nature.
If we didn't have an aha moment or we didn't like move forward or I didn't come up with a coping strategy to suggest, you know, that was helpful with their depression this week, like then I like sit with that and I'm like, oh, did I not show up for them in the way I should? And it's a lot of like self-doubt, self-reflection, that imposter syndrome that comes, and that's the stuff I struggle to compartmentalize now. So yeah, it's just a different form of it now.
It's just interesting how it grows and changes through the career, your career, I suppose, mm-hmm. your career as a therapist. Yeah. But yeah, I just don't like compartmentalizing. Like I just, that whole, taking on burdens, and then I just have a really hard time stepping away and being like, you get to live your life however you want this week. Mm-hmm. That was very difficult for me because a lot of times they just came back and it was just like, oh, that sounded really hard. I can't believe that. It just was like a lot of like, oh my gosh. And so it was hard for me to like not care about, and not that you guys don't care about what happens during the week, but it was hard for me not to care too much, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yes. And you also worked with children. Like,
With the kids, that was just really, it's just all, and that, it just was all hard, you know?
Yeah.
Adults, it's hard because it's like they have bigger problems. And then with kids, it's so hard because you know they have no control over their situation. Mm-hmm. So it'd be like, oh, I wish that your mom would do this week, or I hope your teacher does this, or, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was like a very, it's just like a lot of helplessness of like, oh, I want to help you during the week more than this 1 hour. I guess that's really what it comes down to. I just wish I could be more of a help, but I can't. And so then that frustration builds up of like, then I feel helpless and blah, blah, blah. There you go. That's what therapy is, guys. You just talk through it and then you find the root. And if I had done that 7 years ago, maybe I'd still be a therapist today. I'm just kidding. I'm just taking a break from therapy. That sounded like I quit the profession entirely. Yeah. I did not, but I'm currently taking a break. I'm not seeing any clients, which is very new. So I'm still adjusting to it. It feels very
weird. How does it feel? Yeah. Oh, it feels weird.
It feels weird. Like tonight when we were getting ready to record, I was like, oh, this is weird that this is like my only like thing at night this week. Cause I used to see clients at night, you know? And so it's just like funny how it's nice to be taking a break. Like I took a break because I was like, okay, I need more time, literally more time in my life for my kids right now. And so I just needed to take a break, but it is nice how like, oh, I do actually have more time. It's kind of nice to just be like, oh, this is my only obligation every other night.
So nice.
Just,
like,
get things ready for the next day and like actually relax, which is nice. So I do miss my clients. Absolutely. 100% though. So that's why I did it for so long, because of the clients. So I do miss that. Yeah. But aside from that, I'm happy to have my several hours a week, which sounds like nothing, but it's a lot when you're a mother and you only get several hours a week to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So,
100%. So that conversation actually goes right into our next question, which is, how do you compartmentalize your patient's problems and not dwell on them? I can start. I have a couple of ideas of things that I don't utilize as much anymore, because really I'm only seeing on average like one or two people a day, if that. But when I was working full time, I really had to separate work from home with action. So it was like I would write out my to-do list for the next day and put it on my computer. And then when I shut my office door, I was like shutting that to-do list in the office. Then get in my car and listen to whatever music type I needed to like process the day. So maybe that was, I needed to forget about the day. So it was like very distracting, like upbeat music. Or it was, I needed to grieve the day and the things I heard. So it was like more moody, emotional music. And then I'd get home and I'd immediately change my clothes, because for some reason that symbolized like the end of the workday, getting into the comfies. And then just go about my day. So that has been a process that has really helped. Now that I work from home, I live in my comfies all the time. And so, and my office is like one of our, it's not our bedroom, but it's like right next to, we have a very small house. So it's, there's not a big separation between work and home. And so sometimes that just looks the same as far as like writing down a few notes, putting it on my laptop and leaving it in the office. Yeah, that's kind of like the main strategy. When I only have one or two clients a night, I don't find it to be a huge thing that I need to like separate from. It's generally pretty good. How about you guys?
Yeah, I think for me, like compartmentalizing is, I see, let's see, I have like 15 people on my caseload right now. And I think a lot of it, as I'm like thinking about it, a lot of it is those like habits, that like habitual stuff that KJ was talking about. It's like, I will sit down, I like say goodbye to my kids, they're watched by somebody, I go into the office, and then I just like go over my list. And I think it just takes like a few minutes of like flipping that switch in your brain from like home life, normal human life, to therapist life. And I used to work in an office, and the drive was very, I loved my drive. I loved it. I mean, I was driving on the 405 during rush hour, which sucked. But at the same time, it was very good. It was just like this in-between limbo land where I could like think or not think or leave things. And then when I shut the door, and then I was into my house. So I do like having a physical office away from your home space, but that's not as realistic for some people like me or like KJ or, you know, who are like working in probably in like home offices and stuff like that. So I think it's more of like an intentional internal shift that I imagine myself. I sit down in my therapy chair, I get myself organized, I have my cup, like my beverage, and then I like make the switch in my mind, and then I become like therapist Taylor, and then I'm there like 100%. And then when I'm done, I close my books and I do that stuff, and then I flip the switch again. And then when you're out, it's like, it's not always a perfect science. Those things are going to come to you in the back of your mind. Like maybe something will remind you of something in a session. Maybe something was very traumatic for a person and they experienced a great deal of emotion and you had to hold their hand through it. It was one of those tough ones. And that might come back to you like throughout the day. Maybe you're out, maybe you're driving, maybe there's idle time. And then again, it's just taking that like intentional internal switch and just switching it back to, this is not the time. Like, I have time for this, and this is not the time, you know? So I think that's what helps me compartmentalize. It's very intentional. Sometimes I have to flip the switch a lot, and sometimes I don't. But I do think, like, when Jessica was talking about, like, learning the language of therapy, it's like a muscle, and if you exercise it enough, it gets a little bit more easy and natural, so you don't have to do it all the time.
Definitely. Another thing I do to compartmentalize is I'm really careful about the kind of media I consume. Just because if I'm hearing people's trauma, whether that's like, you know, assaults or abuse, you know, and I'm hearing these awful stories, I can handle that. And I'm trained to handle that. And I've done my own work to be able to like, be able to be that sounding board for people who have experienced really awful things. But I don't want to open myself up to really being able to visualize that. Like, I don't want a picture to it, right? There's a difference between hearing words and hearing it and like seeing it. And so I just am really careful about, you know, if I'm watching a movie or a show, that I know what kind of content is in there. And just like decide,
yeah, check that
okay,
out
is beforehand. That something I yeah. can take in or what? Because I don't, I just really can't handle like having a visual for things like that. Any type of media that involves yeah. like child abuse or anything like that is no. an immediate.
Yeah. Nope. Nope.
Sexual
no,
assault.
For
nope.
me.
Nope.
Will yeah.
not
watch it's
it.
Just not.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can't even dabble in like true crime stuff. I just am not able yeah. to. So yeah.
Oh, I can it's dabble, just like, but I have to hear it. But I'm not gonna watch Daylight.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
gonna listen
watch
to Daylight.
It. Yes.
If that
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a small yeah, yeah. shift. Yeah.
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 There's, and I just feel do. Like there's like that finite amount of
yeah.
terrible things you can take in. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, when you talk to people who have these terrible things happening in real life, your threshold is met pretty quickly because yeah. one terrible thing happens to one person and you're like, that's yes. it. That's all I can handle, you know?
Yeah. yeah.
Because no terrible thing should happen to any terrible person. I mean, to any person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here yeah. Logan are, you know? Did that for me for my media. It's so funny that you say, I have a thing about children, just babies, mm-hmm. children, anything happening to a child. Like we can like start this amazing movie that everybody's told us about. And then in the beginning, there's like a child, like a baby who like may or may not be in danger. And Logan immediately just turns it off. He goes, nope. And I'm like, thank you very much. Like I'm
not worth
I'm
it.
Not game.
Not worth
I'm
it.
Not game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Low threshold.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that was all of our questions. In fact, mm-hmm. I know that was all of our questions. So
someone's got to know. It's got to be you.
Yeah. So. If you're thinking about entering the therapy world as a therapist or a client, have questions about any of that, feel free to email us at thoughtspod@gmail.com or you can DM us on Instagram. We're pretty responsive, I would say, generally. I think
we're
we try to answer every DM.
Responsive. We will
yeah.
respond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
Do
just
not
may
be
take
upset
us
if it
week.
Is not that day. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Fair. Yep.
It's just it's the classic like a bystander effect of like there's three of us, so yeah, it's kind of like yeah. are you gonna do it or am I gonna do it? I'll just wait for someone else to do it, but then I need to do that, it's on my to-do list, so a lot of that happens yeah. so it takes a few yeah. days until one of us is like, oh, I actually have time right now.
Yeah. Yes. But yeah, thanks as always for tuning in. Hope you have a wonderful week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us today. We want to create a community of inclusion where we can have conversations about topics that you need help with or have questions about. We want you to have a voice in this process, so please let us know what you want to hear about on future episodes. You can email us at thoughtspod@gmail.com. And if you search ThoughtsPod, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All original music is composed by Milan Vrajic from Valley of the Bears, and our logos are by Rick Thomas. Thanks for joining us.